Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm here with my man, the Badger. And Badger, I guess happy weekend, I guess, is coming up. And although this is going to air next week, but you know, I wanted to get an immediate reaction from you, and I wanted to talk about, you know, what's happened in the with the jobs report. You know, I was against the release. I never got a chance to verbally talk about it on air on over the airwaves, other than in Canada. But I thought it was a horrific mistake to even think about releasing a number this big into a market that was going to have no liquidity. A, what was your opinion of that and the decision to go ahead and release these numbers on that Friday? And then what did you think of the numbers?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. I thought it was a very big mistake to release any of these numbers on Friday when there's no market open, no way to take off the pressure. I thought it was an unbelievable mistake, and I don't know why the government would do that sort of thing. They have all the time in the world. They knew this number all week long. Why not release it on Thursday this month so that the markets would be there to relieve the pressure? You and I both know that when there's no liquidity, the markets will just simply gap in wild directions, and there's nobody to take the other side of the trade. You would think the government, after being in the business of releasing data for 100 years, could figure that out. But I guess they couldn't figure it out this week.
Well, you know, it's amazing, because now they did make the currency traders and the bond traders go to work this morning. I mean, they were open till 11 a.m. Eastern time to provide liquidity there. Now, I guess they don't assume that it would have any effect on the equity market, that this number had, you know, nothing to do with what's going on in equities. I mean, kind of stupid. I mean, you know, again, I don't like to call these people stupid, but ignorant, I guess, is a better word. I mean, I just don't understand. And of course, the number was pretty bad. I mean, you know, it was even worse than the ADP jobs number. And I think, what was it, 125? Was that the actual number?
I saw anywhere from 120 to 130. Yeah, the numbers were very bad. They were worse than ADP. And it was interesting. Bad has been good, and good has been bad now for the last month or so. And all of a sudden, bad is now bad, I guess. That's what showed up, because the markets, the futures markets, which were open briefly, and again, I don't understand that, completely got tanked right off the bat.
Right, and they actually closed, the S&P future closed at 39.75, it was the low was 38. So it closed a $1.75 off of its low. The Dow futures closed about 16 ticks off their low, down 165. Now, I don't know how this is going to react when it comes into actual trading, you know, but I think it's important to visualize that, you know, how important it is to be in markets that have liquidity, because, again, they decided, and they had this number, but I guess they were assuming, and of course we know what assuming does, but I guess they were assuming, they knew the number was bad, and they figured the markets would probably continue to rally on this bad news, because, of course, basically, the overwhelming theory is that bad news is good news, because it will make the markets, the interest rates low, and that would be, you know, more theory for the bulls, more fuel for the bulls. And I don't think that, on first blush, that doesn't look to be what's going to happen. But I think it's a pretty bad number. Now, you know, you still have these geniuses saying that the Fed's going to raise in June. And, you know, right now we saw on Friday the 10-year, which has huge support at 183, okay, that actually got down to 181 before closing at 184. But I think we're probably at a pretty critical time in the general markets. Or what do you think?
Yeah, a couple things. I agree with you that we've been talking about this on air now for quite a bit. I don't understand why the Fed would possibly want to raise interest rates. We already have the highest interest rates in the world. We're the opposite. We were 4 years ago. We had the lowest interest rates in the world. Now we've got the highest. Raising rates, I think, will only hurt business. I don't see how it can possibly help. Why would you raise rates? There is no inflation, right? Why are they trying to stop an inflationary spiral that doesn't exist? It makes no sense to me. Just because it's time to raise rates. You know, they said, well, if we get to unemployment at a certain level below 6.5 and inflation gets above 2%, we need to head off a problem by raising rates. I don't remember the end of the housing crisis ending with a rapid inflation of prices. I do remember gasoline actually selling at $1.70. And I do remember the price of crude oil going from 148 to 38 in 5 months. And those weren't the best of times. And they're using the same logic here. Well, crude oil's cheap, so gas is cheap, and the American public now is going to spend more money. It just doesn't hold any water. And I think these numbers are starting to show it. Good news, for most of the time, raises the markets, the equity markets, and bad news causes them to break. When you're in the end of the cycle where good news is bad news, it goes the other way. But I'm not so sure we're still in that cycle.
And, you know, it's what I find more interesting as well is that, you know, we've come to a manipulation period. I mean, the Fed has been trying to manipulate equity markets for a while. But, of course, the bonds eventually, the bonds are just too big to keep, you know, held at bay for much longer, I would think. But what do you think?
Well, the bond market's telling they're not going to raise interest rates. If you look at the Fed funds rate, you look at the probabilities, even though the rocket scientists say that the Fed has to raise, the markets are telling us that the Fed isn't going to raise. Now, the bonds you have to be careful about because that new indexing feature. I'm sure that a lot of people looked at them and they went, whoa. Bonds are trading at 166. I mean, interest rates must be at zero. They're not. That's just simply a kink in the curve caused by the fact that in 2000, the big argument, and this is looking back on this, tell me this isn't crazy. One of the biggest arguments in the 2000 presidential race 15 years ago was what we were going to do with all the extra money. Remember that? That's when they were going to do away with the 30-year bonds because we had so much money. The only thing that we could think about was, you know, where are we going to spend the extra money?
So, well, it's funny because just not that long ago, about 4 months ago, when they didn't spend everything they were going to spend, they thought they had extra money. You know, obviously we know that if you and I were doing our accounting the way they do theirs, we'd be in jail or bankruptcy court. I mean, I've said that many times. And of course, we know that that's just a fact. I mean, but I think the biggest problem we have now is that we're not running a business, and we're getting into too much of market manipulation and worried about too much of things that really do not allow the capitalistic system in which this country was built on, okay, to really prosper or flourish anymore. What we've done now is we've become a series of regulations and, you know, trying to stamp out any volatility, but really stamping out the entrepreneurial spirit now, because the small guy who used to be able to go to his local banker and say, hey, you know, I need $20,000, whatever it is, you know, and they would somehow figure out a way to collateralize that loan. And, you know, he'd get the money because why? Well, because they were charging, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12% of interest, and their lending rate was 3, 4, or 5, and they were making the spread and they were doing all the things they wanted to do. And that no longer seems to be unfortunately a viable option, because of what, you know, we've seen happen over the last 6 years. Now, yes, we've seen an equity market that has rallied tremendously. I mean, the S&P was 666, I believe, or that was a Dow. One of them was 666. But at the end of the day, they both come screaming back. But what we're going to do now is we're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back. And for those of you watching on Ticker TV, we'll look at some charts when we come back. We'll do one more segment here, and then we'll get back to our business. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we do have a new product coming out, so be ready to look for that. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, hanging out with the Badger. We'll be right back. Yeah. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am hanging out with my man, the Badger. And, you know, Badger, so I've got a chart of the 10-year up. And, of course, the 10-year is the future. The June future is trading at 129, almost 130, 129.28 half. The all-time high in the 10-year is 131.05 half. Now, of course, we're in a solid uptrend and have been. And, you know, as you and I both know, because we decided back in 2008 that we were smarter than everybody and we were going to sell the bonds, okay, because they couldn't, because we knew that interest rates had to rise. And, of course, well, 5 years later, 6 years later, excuse me, they still have not risen. But I've been saying, and I've been, my band or my beat has been the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months saying, hey, look, we know interest rates are going to go up eventually, but they're not going up anytime soon. The bond market is telling you that that's the case. And there is no reason to try to fight these products like the TLT or the TBT. You know, we took a couple of chances and we had one break back, you know, a few months ago and then another one back about 6 months ago. But basically, the overall trend, and I mean, bonds themselves have been in a 30-year bull market now?
Yeah. Actually, I happen to be on the floor trading bonds the day they made their low, which was May 29th, 1984, I think was the day. The bonds at that time, and people are not going to believe this, but and it's a little bit different now because of the indexing, but the futures contract was trading at 56 or 55. And the question was at that point, were they going to re-index the bonds there the other direction? And, you know, Bill Gross picked up on that and he made a few bucks figuring out that bonds were the best possible investment over the next 30 years. And they have been the best possible investment. They've returned annually, I think, something like 9% for the past 30 years. And that's very difficult to get in any market.
No, I mean, well, Bill Gross, let's be honest. Again, we don't know now at his age now if he's losing a little bit of it. But in his heyday, I don't know that there was 10 people smarter than Bill Gross in the world at what he was doing.
No, he was the smartest. And of course, that's why his company grew from a little tiny bond trading company 30 years ago into the monster it is now, which is PIMCO, or his old company. You know, he got an argument with the CEO, and CEO quit. Bill decided to run things, and he ended up getting fired, basically, by the board of government, by his board.
Well, you know, I mean, again, in those days, for those of you who don't understand pit trading or whatever, you know, market makers work on an inherent edge that they get based on order flow and the way paper comes into a pit, because the customer is always, in those days, I mean, it's still the same theory, but, you know, when markets were a little bit wider and we weren't trading on, you know, on pennies every day, and, you know, if you wanted to buy something, you would pay the ask price, and if you wanted to sell something, you would sell it at the bid price, basically, and market makers provided that liquidity to make those markets. And Bill Gross was so smart that he physically broke, I think the number was either 4 or 5 of these interest rate pits, because he just knew, and he could just see, it's like he could see dead people. I mean, he saw things that nobody else could see back in his heyday. And of course, you know, I think, you know, I've listened to him recently, and I think he's a little bit off. But certainly I cannot ever take away how smart he was and how he figured this model out way back before we had all these fancy computers now. And, you know, it's interesting how the markets are still the same. They still trade the same way. But, of course, the way the functionality of market makers and the way those things happen have changed. And, of course, the types of edges that he was able to find in a market are no longer there, right?
No, they're no longer there because the price and yield is so low. He can't get the same bang he used to get for his buck when he used to come into the pits and terrorize us. It's interesting you were talking about the market making function and the book about the Speedy Boys, high frequency traders. And we said, wait a minute, high frequency traders have been around forever. We were the high frequency traders 25 years ago because we made the markets. And the markets were less efficient then than they are now. That's the reason the markets are where they are. So when we hear about how frequency traders are making billions, those same billions were being made before, but they were just being made by individuals instead of the computer models that do it now. And the markets are tighter now than ever. So So when you talk about that, Bill Gross used to come in and terrorize us because of the size of the orders he'd bring into the pits. And, you know, you would be a fly on the windshield of Bill Gross if you were the first one to reach up and take the other side.
You're 100% right. And you know, this goes back to all these. And you know, again, you know, the Speedy Boys, the Flash, this is nothing new. We had the hell. It started out with CRT.
Yep, Chicago Retail Trading.
Okay, and then it was Susquehanna and Blair Hall and his gang.
Yep.
And so this is not new. But what's new is that the retail trader has never had it better, right? You agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, they've got it. They can't get it any better. This is as good as it's going to get. And the market makers, which are now really the high frequency traders. Those market makers are still going to make their money every year. That's just part of the liquidity thing. And when I read about, you know, how he says these guys are making billions and they're stealing money, they're making billions because they trade hundreds of trillions. And they do take risk. The Speedy Boys don't all make money. If you think that's the case, you can look at some of these guys that just got busted out in the Swiss franc when they unpegged it. Those guys were Speedy Boys too. They were just trading a different market. And something eventually will happen in the U.S. markets where a couple of the high-frequency traders will bust out. It's not free money out there, guys. I'll tell you right now.
And that's for sure. And I'm just, Badger, I'm just showing a chart of the Dow. And, you know, now, you know, just based on trading theory, you know, for those of you who are watching, I mean, we are now, once again, we are reaching this 17.5 area in the Dow future. This is the Dow future. This is a monster area. Now, the issue is, will it hold? And will we get another one of those bounces? Or is this going to be the time we're finally going to break through to the other side and go to the dark side, as many like to call it? But at the end of the day, the markets will decide. The markets will tell you where they're going and what the next step is. You know, my opinion is my opinion. The Badger has his opinion. We both believe that we're probably a little bit overdone here. And we need a sell-off. And you know, a lot of times what people don't realize is that sell-offs are healthy for the market overall, because then they do bring in new money and they bring in a stronger foundation. Because certainly, Badger, let me ask you if you agree with this. I say the foundation of the market here sucks, and that we aren't built on anything but artificial cash, which is really more like a house of cards.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. I'm good.
Well, no, it's the market's been trading the Fed forever, right? It's what's going on the Fed. It's been for 5 years now. But if you look at something, the market, even though if you listen to everybody on TV, if you listen to the media, they keep saying that, well, the bull market continues, but we're no higher than we were 6 months ago. We are in a huge consolidation or congestion pattern. It just keeps rotating back up and down. We did get down to the 17,000 level in the Dow a couple times, and those levels held. You know, then we got to the top. We broke out slightly on extremely light volume and volatility, and now the market appears to be back in that congestion because we're priced where we were 6 months ago in October.
Exactly. And, yeah, we did make a new high, but, again, these are not – new highs are where they break out and continue, not where they break out and stop.
Yeah, we made a new high by a few ticks.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And a percentage basis, the new high was virtually non-existent.
So, you know, again, these are things that, you know, that we look at, you know, on a regular basis. And these are how we make our overall long-term decision. So we're not just saying here that, well, it's way overvalued. I mean, the pattern itself shows that the potential is now out there that a top could be in. And again, we are not predicting that this is the top. What I'm telling you here is 17.5 in the Dow future is a pretty key level. That's what I'm telling you here to be aware of. Not anything else but that 17.5 level, because that will really depend and decide where we go next. And we'll know in the next couple of days whether or not how this number is going to be really interpreted, because it takes a little bit of time for the markets to digest it, especially when they do these and bring them into a illiquid market. So we don't even know if the actual sell-off was really warranted based on where the bigger money is going to be. But again, it's something that you need to be aware of. And again, watch 1.83 in the 10-year. Watch 17.5 in the Dow future. Those will give you a lot of answers going forward. This is the Bubba Show. I am hanging out with the Badger. We're going to step out of here for a break, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk some others. I want to talk some education when we come back. So this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. A lot of great changes, a lot of the good things going on. And we'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
You're so delicious. You're so soft. Sweet on the tip of my tongue. You taste like sunlight. And strawberry bubble gum.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger today. And Badger, last Friday I spoke before the National Teachers Convention about putting in a new investment program, because as you and I both know, that at most levels of education, they strictly teach, you know, balance sheet and purely fundamental information, which, again, when we're investing, and if we're going to buy things for the long term, we certainly want to have a company that has strong fundamentals. But at the end of the day, it's much better to understand how technicals work, because it gives you typically a better entry and an exit into the stock or whatever it is you're trading. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, we believe in technicals. You know, not everybody in the world believes in technicals. A lot of them believe in fundamentals, but we believe that the charts show you what the fundamentals are doing. So we don't really care about that. When the market's going higher, we're not really interested in why it's going higher. We just know it's going higher, and we just want to be with the trend. When the market's going down, we can see the market's going down. We don't really care why the market's going down. Somebody will eventually explain it to us. But the important thing is that we're going in the direction. So when we show people how to look at technicals in addition to fundamentals, it's all in the price. We happen to believe in price, but we come from that background as market makers, where price discovery was the most important tool. If somebody is willing to buy or sell something at, dictated to us what we would do on the other side of the trade. So we're trying to show people that there's a footprint. Every time a trade takes place, it has to be recorded. And when that trade is recorded, it leaves a footprint. And the footprint's right there, and you get to see it.
Right. And I guess the important part is, again, you know, I use the example of Apple quite frequently. But, you know, Apple today, now it is back up, you know, higher than that $700 level that it was, you know, years ago. But Right. But the footprint was not suggesting that Apple at $700 could go much higher. The footprints were telling you that they were getting tired of walking uphill, and they were probably ready for a little bit of spill. And again, the fundamentals in Apple didn't change. In fact, the biggest break in Apple when it started to go down came off of the world at the time, the world's biggest revenue quarter ever by any company ever. And of course, that was enough for the Americans to say, okay, we've had enough. It's time to start going the other way. And that is something that, again, we don't say that fundamentals are not important when you're investing. I mean, certainly, if you're going to buy a stock and want to hold that stock for a long period of time, you know, then why not try to buy it at the best possible price while you're using the fundamentals? So if you want to look at the fundamentals of any company, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, why wouldn't you want to have the best entry as well that suggested that that gave you the highest probability to make money and not start off losing money right away? Because if you'd have bought Apple at 700, I don't know what most people would have done when it got down to 600, to 500. You know, how long do you hold? Then you're kind of putting yourself in a bad way, which is why learning to tie technical analysis along with fundamental analysis becomes a much more important way and a better way to trade, don't you think?
Yeah, I do personally. And we talked to a lot of people and they would say, well, it's okay, I own Apple at 100 and it's now trading 700. Our position is no, you own Apple at 700 because every dime that Apple goes down, every time that it goes down, your net liquidating value, net lick as we call it, goes down. And they go, no, it doesn't, because I own it at 200. I'm going, no, you own it at 700. A lot of people don't understand that because they look at their balance sheet and they can say what they want during the stock market crash or during the huge sell-off after the bubble, after the real estate bubble. People owned their houses at the top. And how was it proven? Because they all went busted. The same with your stocks. You could say, well, no, I own the stock at $100 a share and it's now trading at 500. But when it goes back down to 300, you've lost $200 a share. I don't care what anybody tells you.
Well, I mean, that goes a lot to do with, you know, financial literacy and understanding that, you know, if you buy a stock at 20 and it goes to 21, that dollar is your money. Now, whether you choose to take the profit there and take the money is another question. But just because you only invested, if you bought 100 shares, you only invested 2,000, that investment is now worth 2,100. Now, the reason that you invested was to see that money grow. So now that 2,100 is your money. It's not, you know, people get too confused. And this is a big mistake between gamblers and traders and investors is, well, it's free money. But it's not free money, Badger. It's your money. Now, if you want to look at it as free money, we don't suggest that because, you know what? Once that money transfers from whoever it came from into your account, that's not your money. So you should never appear and think that that money is not your money, right? I mean, am I nuts or am I nuts?
No. Your point of view is the one that I actually believe in, too. Once it's your money, you have to guard it. Because if you started out with $1,000 and it went to $800 right off the bat, you would say, I've lost $200. Using the philosophy of, well, you know, I started with $1,000, it's not worth $2,000, so I've got free money. I got the house's money. What do I care? No, it's your money at $2,000. Why watch it go down? We saw Apple go down, what, 40% in the example you're using?
Yeah, almost 50. The low from top to bottom was almost 50%. It went to $375 a share before turning around. And, you know, that's not uncommon. And that, to me, that's the tragedy of not having literacy when it comes to finances. Because, you know what? Everybody should think of that money. First of all, it is your money, but think about it as your own business. I mean, your trading account or your investment account, your IRA account, those are all little businesses, are they not? I mean, that's really what you're doing is you're running a business that you're hoping to turn a profit in over time. Now, obviously, your investing account isn't something that you're going to use to buy inventory because your inventory there is your capital or the investments that it's invested in. But at the end, your objective there is to grow a business and to take profit. Yes?
Yes, of course. And as you said, your capital is your inventory. So if you're trading or investing and that is the way that you make your money, capital is your inventory. If you were running a business, you wouldn't come along and say, well, I don't care what happens to my inventory. I don't care if it goes up or down because I'm selling it on the front end. And you talk to a businessman, of course, if you're the government, you do that. But a real businessman doesn't do things like that. He looks at his inventory and he guards it because that's where his future profit's coming from. When people tell you, well, it's you know, it doesn't matter what it's trading at now. This is what I paid for it. They're just, in my mind, they're 100% backwards. And if that was the case, then when we had the housing crisis and, of course, the wealth effect where everybody was taking money out of their house and buying new things, when the price of the houses collapsed, when that bubble fell apart, believe me, they realized that, oh, I think these guys are talking the truth. It's not where I own it to start out with. It's where I own it now, because now the present is what our real value is and what we have. And just as a businessman guards his inventory, you as an investor must guard your inventory, which is your cash or the amount of equity in your account.
And that's very important to understand, because that is how, you know, you hear big terms, you hear people talk buy and hold, you hear some of these guys coming out and they're saying, well, just buy indexes and just keep holding them and never sell them. Look, part of the philosophy is okay, because the Badger and I both know that the market does go up over time, 9% year over year, but it doesn't go up every year. But one of the problems that we have, and people forget, and this was a big problem in the 90s with the internet bubble, and in the 07, 06, 07, 08 in the housing bubble. And you know, there's one other obligation people seem to forget about. You know, when you start buying and selling all these things, there's something called the tax obligation that has to be paid. And what a lot of people did is they bought and sold all these things, and they were doing this, you know, in the 90s and in the housing bubble, and of course building big tax obligations and taking all their profits and spending and buying and doing whatever they're doing. But at the end of the day, all of a sudden, come April, came a tax bill. But all the things that they bought and they were holding up to hopefully be able to take the money out to pay their taxes, all those assets collapsed. But guess what? The tax obligation was still there, was it not?
Well, tax obligation remains. And that's something, again, that people don't realize when they're involved in the market. They've got to allow for that. One of the things about using indexes, or actually using the futures, a lot of people aren't aware of, Bubba, is that you get a benefit on your profit if you use futures, or you combine them with options, because it's called 1256 income, and it's taxed differently. And that's something that most people never even think about or hear about. They look at the long and short-term capital gain, and they don't realize that if you use the options, that it's going to turn into a long-term or a mixed capital gain to begin with.
And what about with the futures?
The futures is the same thing. Okay. The futures, there is no such thing as short-term gain in futures. Futures, and it's complicated. It's a deal we negotiated with the government 25 years ago when, if you remember, in the good old days when we did the T-bill spreads, Bubba, we didn't really have to pay taxes.
Right. No, you are correct, my boy, and that was things that we talked about, and these are messages, which is why we believe that we offer such a valuable service to the public and to people out there, which is why, you know, we offer a training model, and which is why we are now bringing out our new newsletter, is because, again, we need to get people to understand and have the financial literacy, whether you're handling your own money, whether you're trading yourself, or you're having somebody watch it for you, because, as I like to say, nobody cares as much about your money as you do, and you need to take care of it that way as well. And I think that's very important for you, the investor, to make sure you understand. So this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm spending the day with the Badger, and we're talking a little bit of finances and education, and I want to make sure you get the best out of it. So we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
10 miles from town.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And nice to have the Badger back. And, of course, he'll be back tomorrow. But had to cut our visit short today. And as we look at the week coming up here, what do we have? Well, we've got earnings starting tomorrow. Now, I guess one of the questions you'll ask is, well, you know, we reduced our expectations to almost zero. Kind of hard for them not to beat earnings. Now, one of the things you have to look at, does it bother you that we keep reducing expectations of how our companies and how this country should operate? It certainly bothers me. I mean, I look at it and I go, how do we continue to lower our expectations? I mean, you know, would you lower your expectations for for anything you do in life. I mean, that's kind of a sad state when you start to wonder, you know, and you reduce, you know, what your potential is. I mean, I would hope none of us would reduce our own personal potential. So why do we accept it from our reporting guys that they say that, well, we're going to do less and you should be happy about it? To me, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense. I find it, you know, kind of unnerving to me that we continue to accept this. But, you know, it goes back to the crooked game we're playing, the legalized Ponzi scheme that we're playing, or the shell game, three-card Monty. Any one of those, you can fill in the blank, because we're playing a crooked game, which is annoying in its own right. And of course, our good friend, Dr. Yellen and gang, or, you know, we can call them the stooges of the Fed, will be reporting their minutes from their last meeting. Now, does anybody out there really believe that they're even going to raise rates? I mean, the only reason they might raise them is just because they said they were going to. But, I mean, we are in dire straits here with the world and the global economy. We have tremendous problems circulating through. And, you know, at some point, you know, someone's going to say, well, wait a second. How am I ever going to get my money out of this? And this is what you start to see as we start to reach up to, you know, tops in the market again, is, well, how am I going to get my money out? Where is the support for my investment? You know, is this a Ponzi scheme? You know, is it three-card Monty? If we were playing musical chairs, am I going to have a chair to sit down in? And this, to me, is another issue and another problem that we just simply ignore. And why we ignore it, that I can never understand. But, you know, I look and I go, well, where is there going to be any growth? Where are we going to see real jobs come back to this market? I mean, was the jobs number not bad enough for you? Do the statistics not tell you what kind of shape that we are in? And yet we just continue to go on our merry way and to decide that, well, it's not that important. Well, I would be here to tell you that I think it's pretty damn important. In fact, on my commentary at the CME yesterday, I said, you know, hey, you know, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, are we going to continue to, you know, try to float, you know, and just kind of pass the bubble around and see who it pops on? I mean, this reminds me when I was a kid, the old egg toss. You know, is the egg going to break on me? Because this is a really, really rough time in the economy. And to me, I look and I go, what is the solution going to be? What are these brilliant minds of our country going to come up with to try to solve the issues and the problems in which they created? Now, let's remember that these were self-created issues, okay? This was a Ponzi scheme, or a legalized Ponzi scheme, from day one. The Federal Reserve has done a brutal job in handling what is going on here. They have done nothing but destroy more of the middle class, put more people on public aid, restricted people from going to college, built another subprime lending market, which happens to be the automobile market now. What else have they done to destroy a great economy, or what could be a great economy, and what could have been done with great ease instead of continuing to supply the heroin to the wealthy who don't need it? And again, don't get me wrong, everybody wants money. But at the end here, we're going to see an ugly, ugly knockoff. I mean, this will be Humpty Dumpty falling off the side of the building and turning into scrambled eggs, because at this point, there is no hope that things will get better with the way that we're operating and with the way that the Fed is trying to still, after all this time, still trying to manipulate the curve, still trying to manipulate the currency, still trying to think that they're chubby checker and doing the twist. You know, we are at the breaking point of where we can go. Now, can we go higher? Of course we can go higher. I mean, I'm never going to say that this is the absolute top. But giving me a decision of where I'm going to be or where I see things being in the next year, well, certainly I can't see them going much, much higher. You know, we're seeing bubble markets in biotechs. We've seen, you know, bubbles everywhere. And for some reason, we continue to create them without regard for what real economy should be. You know, if you want to talk about a balance sheet, I mean, this balance sheet's got to be one of the ugliest in history. But of course, they, the Fed, they, the government, can get away with creating these things because they have that same ability to continue to print money. So as long as there's paper and ink, they'll be able to print. You know, I mean, and now with all the fancy tools out there, hell, they can put them right on a copier. They don't even have to go to a big old printer. They can just copy away and continue to create money. And I think that that is a tragedy because of the effects it's going to cause later down the line. I don't get it. And quite frankly, I'm pretty pissed off about it. I mean, I look around and again, I can only see what I can see. And yeah, I know a lot of very, very rich people that are extremely happy with what's going on and saying, hey, you know, I'm making more money now than I ever made because I can continue to, you know, as they used to play the game, steal the old man's bundle, or now we can steal the old woman's bundle. Okay. In our dovish Fed president, who, again, I will say this once again, I believe they have no idea of what's next, which is why nobody has an idea what's next, which is why it leaves guys like me trying to figure out what the hell are they thinking. Because certainly, if I ran any business the way that they're running, I would be out of business. And that is the inequity of the whole market. That is the inequity of what they have created here. But of course, our fearless leader will get out there and tell us what a great job he has done and continues to do for the American people, because he instituted all the promises that he made back in 08. You know, of course, as we see the BS meter, it keeps lighting up higher and higher. You know, if he were Pinocchio, his nose would reach across the United States. Okay. But that's, again, when you get involved now with a very antagonistic president that is going to do things his way or the highway, because he has no more elections. He doesn't have to suck up anymore. He's going to be as antagonistic and as brutal as he can possibly be while trying to take away and get rid of everybody and turn this into a entitled society, so that maybe his dream is we'll end up such as Greece trying to default down the road. Now, I really don't believe we're going to default, but again, over exaggeration. But as I come to the end of the show, it gave me a chance to get another free shot in there. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I want to thank you for being here today. I've got some great plans coming up for the show, and I've got some great ideas. I can't wait to share them with you. But for today, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. September, and I really should be back at school. I know I keep you
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.